Hebrews chapter 13 in your Bibles, and I do hope you'll take the time to turn. Look at these texts with me. Would you do that? I want you to notice at the very end of this great and amazing book of Hebrews, the Holy Spirit takes all of the deep meaning of Passover that this book of Hebrews describes and all of the glory of the resurrection. And in one verse, in fact, actually in two words in one verse, he summarizes the entire message of this season. You do realize, you do understand that Passover, which is 8 days, began at sunset this past Wednesday and is at its halfway point today, Easter Sunday. The blood of Passover and the blood of the cross are always remembered in the very same week, and that is by God's design. And so it is that the writer of Hebrews, in just two words, reminds us of why we're even here today. Would you look at it? Verse 20. He says, "Now, the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus." Well, there's the resurrection. The only reason he is the God of peace, the only reason he can bring true peace to anyone's heart is that Jesus is alive. And of course, inasmuch as Easter is the beginning of this verse, the echo of Passover, you'll notice, is at the end of the verse. Look at it again. Verse 20, the last line says, "Through the blood of the everlasting covenant." You see, it was at Passover that Jesus said, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood." So here's the resurrection. Here's the blood atonement. The question is, what two words sort of summarize the full meaning of why we're here today? Verse 20 again, look at it. "Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead, our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep." Now wait a minute, what? Great shepherd? The Greek word there for great, you may recognize it, is the word mega. Mega. The mega shepherd. Pastor, I thought he was talking about the lamb who shed his blood. Why in the world would the Holy Spirit of God insert two words about Christ? Not found, by the way, anywhere else in Scripture. Why is Jesus called here in the book of Hebrews the great shepherd? Well, I hope you'll listen very carefully for the next few moments, because that question is not just answered in the book of Hebrews, but it's also answered by the Lord Jesus himself in the Gospels. In fact, I want us to do something this morning. You know, we are never, ever going to forget Easter Sunday, 2020. I mean, for crying out loud, folks, we are meeting, we are assembled in cars and trucks and bicycles. Someone asked me if they could say amen by shooting off their firearm here because we're in the farms. No, you can't do that, please. On this Lord's Day, I want you to picture this assembly right here, this assembly that's meeting as a great flock of sheep. I mean, you're huddled together. We're all outside. There's grass mostly everywhere. In fact, everybody do it again. Just bump your horn real quick. Would you do that? Just bump it. There you go. Okay, okay. Yeah. See, like, that's the bleating of the sheep. I told you, it's like a big, giant flock. And one was wandering off here a moment ago. I saw a drive-in, like the 90, left the 99, probably a Tesla. A flock of sheep, hear this carefully, needs something. A flock of sheep needs a shepherd. And of course, our Lord Jesus in the Gospel of John, in one of the greatest chapters of all the Bible, our Lord said, "I am," what? "The good shepherd." John 10:10, "The good shepherd," he said, "giveth his life for the sheep." John 10:14, "I am the good shepherd and I know my sheep." So, here today, you're all a bunch of sheep. And again, a flock of sheep needs a shepherd, but not just any shepherd. Because if there's any hope at all of green pastures and still waters, if there is any hope especially of safety from wolves and danger, there really needs to be a good shepherd. Not just a shepherd. Don't forget, folks, Jesus said that it's the good shepherd that giveth his life for the sheep. So that unlike the hireling, this is precisely what our good shepherd has done. In that very same text where our Lord says, I'm the good shepherd, you know what? He also says, I lay down my life for the sheep. Jesus knew he would die for his flock. I wonder this morning to what degree you are aware that the Lord of glory, your Creator, gave his life for you. You have a friend who willingly died for you. It really is a life-changing truth if you embrace it. And yes, Christ feeds you, and yes, he leads you, and of course, he protects you. He does all of the things that a shepherd does. But as the good shepherd, he has also laid down his life for you. He loved his sheep more than he loved his own life. Think about that. Four times in John 10, he testifies to that willing sacrifice. Jesus, beloved, was not a martyr. He chose to die. Because he loves the sheep, he will not leave them in the wilderness of sin or alone with a bunch of wolves. He died to save them. However, note this carefully, because now there's a problem. Right? Now there's a great dilemma. If this is a flock of sheep here today, and there was a wolf or a bear coming now in our midst, and the good shepherd came, or he comes in here and he gives his life for you. Wow, that's wonderful. In fact, you do realize that the world and that religion and even the devil doesn't really mind that reality about Christ. Jesus on a cross, a crucifix, that's tolerable. Who doesn't love the story of sacrifice and heroic death? That's what the Medal of Honor is all about. And it is true. The world does not reject the truth of the good shepherd. However, there's still a problem. There's still a predicament. You're a flock. The good shepherd just gave his life for you by preventing a wolf attack. Can I ask you a question? Now what? What about tomorrow's wolf? What about next month's attack? If the good shepherd is dead, who's going to save you? You see, folks, there is a reason our text in Hebrews, in verse 20, notice again, referring to the resurrection, does not call Jesus the good shepherd. And that reason goes all the way back to the very text where Jesus first says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And he did. But you know, right there in John chapter 10, Jesus added these words. Hear them carefully. I lay down my life of myself, but I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. John 10:17 says this, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it up again. You see, folks, the glory this morning is that Jesus isn't just the good shepherd. What are the two words right there again in Hebrews 13, verse 20? Look at it. They are the two words, great shepherd. Mega. You see, beloved, our Lord, our Savior did what a good shepherd does for his own. He gave his life. Yes, he did. But then he did what no good shepherd could ever do. He lived again. First, he defeated the wolves. And then he rose again to destroy the wolves and ultimately destroy them for eternity. So that, you know what? If you're here today, if you're in this place right now or at home watching, because 2,000 years ago Jesus died for you, then I'm going to tell you something. You really don't get it. That's just tradition then. It's not enough. If you're here today because 2,000 years ago Jesus died for you and rose again, you do realize that's still not the full measure. That's not even enough. That's religion and tradition. However, if you understand what it means that Jesus is the great shepherd, that 2,000 years ago he died and was resurrected, and that right now, April the 12th, 2020, he is Lord and shepherd and Savior of your life, so that today and now and here he leads and protects and provides and loves his sheep, then you understand and can embrace the glory and miracle of what the great shepherd said that day when he was there. Let me read it to you. John 10:14, I am the good shepherd. I lay down my life for the sheep. Here it is. And other sheep I have which were not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. And there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Now, wait a minute. If the good shepherd's going to die, which he just said he was going to do, if he's laying down his life, how's he going to bring in future sheep, other sheep, into his fold? Because, folks, listen, he's talking about you. Way back then, he's talking about us. How are we going to hear his voice once he's dead? That's the glory, beloved, of the great shepherd. He's not dead. And his voice and his word, infallible, inspired, eternal, the living, speaking word of God. My sheep, Jesus said, hear my voice. And it is not a voice from the grave. Back in 1975, I had a history teacher at Martin County High who used to answer almost every question in class with the same three words. Look it up. Someone would ask about the Servile War when Sicily, you know, rebelled against Rome, and he would just say, look it up. Mr. Rogers, when was the Battle of Granicus when Alexander defeated the Persians? And he would say, look it up, and he would hold up his textbook. I always carried my Bible to school in those days. And one day, I remember it was the teacher who posed the question. And he said, how can we know today, he was talking about history and knowledge, how can we know today that Jesus of Nazareth died on the cross? And I quickly bent over and pulled out my Bible and I said, look it up. Look it up? Really? Is that enough? Yeah, because the Bible's not a history book. Here's what I know. I know that his word lives. I know that he speaks today and now through his word. What I know is that Jesus did not just lay down his life and rise from the grave for a dozen men or a dozen women in ancient Israel, not at all. The writer of our text did not say, think back to what it must have been like to hear the Good Shepherd or to see the Prince of Peace or to know his will way back then on a hillside outside of Jerusalem. Do you ever think about the fact that the apostles were not nostalgic for going back to those days, the Mount of Transfiguration? They didn't build a shrine. They didn't think back in nostalgia. Oh, if I could just go back to what Jesus was there. No. They understood. John himself, in his 90s, he didn't think back. On the Lord's day, he was in the Spirit, and he saw Jesus high and lifted up. What does our very next verse say about our great shepherd? Look at it. It says, the God of peace and the great shepherd, what? Verse 21, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working, guess what that word is, present tense, in you, present tense, that which is well-pleasing in his sight. He sees you, he sees me right now. You see, folks, the world doesn't mind. This world does not mind a good shepherd who helped people long ago as a Roman subject. That's just lore. That's a story. That's just ancient history to them. And they really don't mind if you take the lore and add layer after layer after layer of man-made traditions and trappings. That's good. That's a good shepherd they'll accept. But the great shepherd, the one who said on that hillside that there are other sheep who will hear my voice one day and who will do my will, who will be pleasing in my sight, because inside of them on April 12, 2020 is the Lord of glory, the living Christ, who give testimony and witness that Jesus is alive. That's the truth that confronts this world. You'll notice the last line of verse 21 says that the great shepherd, quote, look at it, to whom be glory forever and ever. Can I ask you a question? Who do you think he's including in that to whom? Who's praising Jesus' glory forever and ever in eternity? Can I tell you who? You are. You're to do it here and now. The sheep of his pasture, which reminds us that everything in the past and everything in the present today and everything about eternity future is bound up in the good and the great shepherd's plan of redemption. In fact, let me say this, and I'll close. Psalm 23 is the most familiar, one of the most beloved texts in all the world and in all of history. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Millions of people know it by memory. Probably billions throughout history. It's called the Shepherd's Psalm. What's important to note, however, is that it's really the Great Shepherd's Psalm. Everything about it is present tense. Maketh me, leadeth, restoreth, preparest. Thou art with me, the psalmist says. But then, the last line of the psalm says, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Whoa. Forever? Eternal sheep? How is that possible? Beloved, it's not. It's just poetry, Psalm 23, unless the Good Shepherd is also the Great Shepherd who rose again and lives today. And I tell you what, I don't know about you, but that's the reason I'm here today. That's the reason we are here today and every Sunday and last Sunday and the Sundays before us. In John chapter 10, Jesus said, I am the door into the sheepfold. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and I give unto them eternal life. Think about that for a moment. The only reason that you can have eternal life is that the living Savior, who's here today, who is seated at the right hand of the Father and making it, the only reason is that He gives it to you. And you accept it by faith. If you're here today and you're a child of God by faith and you've been saved, then you drive out of this lot, you get up out of your seat at home, you go through this day recognizing that the Lord's Day is not a day to remember what happened long ago and it was just long ago. It's a day to remember that what happened long ago means that Jesus is alive right now and today. And that verse says He wants to do His will in you every day. If you're here today and you don't know that, you don't know that you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you don't know that you hear His voice when He calls through His word, then today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to open your heart to the living Savior so that He's your Savior and your Lord. Our Father in heaven, how thankful we are today that we have not, as Peter said, followed cunningly devised fables. Thank you, Lord, that we serve the risen Savior. That today on this Lord's Day and every single Lord's Day, we know that You are in our midst, that Your word speaks to us, that we can live to do Your will to the praise of Your glory. We pray for those in this room, perhaps who just now opened their heart in faith and accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior. May they come back and continue and grow so that they will understand what it means to live daily and walk daily in the footsteps of Jesus. Thank You, Lord, for our church, for all the visitors here. I pray, God, for protection for our people, for our country. I pray, Lord, that our nation would, during this time, recognize how vulnerable any nation, any people are without You. And in so doing, repent and seek for Your help and guidance. Bless now the fellowship of Your people in this wonderful Lord's Day. We praise You for it. Thank You that we serve a living Savior. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
On behalf of everyone at Beacon Baptist Church, we thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your heart and life has been impacted through the biblical truths of this message. If you have questions or would like more information, please contact us through our website at beaconbaptistchurch.org. That's beaconbaptistchurch.org. May the Lord bless you.